Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
It's a day of strength for local blue chips, with the Straits Times Index brushing off hump day woes and making one of its strongest moves this week. The STI is up by about 0.4% and shrugging off those dismal trade figures for Singapore that showed electronics exports here declined by almost 27% in March. Because the big data point for global markets today comes from China. First quarter GDP figures from the world's second largest economy showed growth of about 6.4%, beating estimates of economists surveyed by Bloomberg. But it's the follow-up figures that also showed higher than expected retail sales in March and a jump in industrial output that caught the attention of many. Now, this is a hefty macro report card from China. And now we're joined by Commerce Bank's economist Hao Zhou to talk about the numbers. He's with us on the line right now. Mr. Zhou, good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi, JP. Yeah. Good afternoon.
Yeah, so a lot of numbers. You can see I kind of mixed up the mornings and the afternoons there. But first off, again, just looking at those numbers, a lot more encouraging. China's first quarter GDP figure is coming in at 6.4%. Can you give us your initial reactions to the numbers? Because they did come in a little bit better than most economists expected.
Yes, of course. It looks like, you know, overall the China's data is kind of quite encouraging, especially, you know, the industrial production. But, you know, if you look at the GDP numbers, you know, actually the market was surprised that the Chinese government actually, you know, has succeeded in stabilizing the economy somehow earlier than expected. I think the market was expecting that Chinese economy to stabilize in Q2 or Q3, but it looks like the March or February data looks just relatively good already. So basically, I think, you know, the first reaction to the market is that the Chinese government has done its job in stabilizing its economy again. So it's thanks to the central planning system in the economy, as well as the, you know, the relatively accommodative and proactive monetary and fiscal policy, which was rolled out in the past few quarters.
Mr. Zhou, how do the other figures fit in here? Because that's a lot. We're talking about a lot. Fixed asset investments, for instance, meeting economist estimates. Retail sales and industrial production, especially industrial output, both of them beating estimates by a considerable amount. How do these fit into the economic picture? And what else does this tell us about the overall economic health on the mainland?
I think, you know, the other three activity indicators in general is kind of well above market expectations. You know, even though if fixed asset investment, as you said, is the matching market expects, but actually, it's still relatively kind of significant rebound from Q4 last year. So this definitely today's biggest surprise comes from the industrial production. The industrial production was relatively weak in the first 2 months this year, but today's number is above, you know, 8%. Actually, is stellar growth in China's industrial sector. But I think, you know, combined the Q1 data, the industrial sector definitely has been kind of stabilized, and as well as, you know, we see kind of some recovery from there also. So retail sales definitely relatively stable. I would say that, you know, after the VAT cut tax, you know, the consumption could see some upside in the future as well. So general, it's quite encouraging numbers there.
We're still speaking to Hao Zhou, economist over at Commerce Bank, who's helping us parse through some of these GDP figures from China. And Mr. Zhou, it's a good set of numbers, but it's not without its critics. In fact, the OECD recently said that some of these stimulus measures that seems to have propped up the Chinese economy or helped jumpstart it again could possibly create distortions in the medium term, either through higher shadow lending or either through some distortions that might come through bad loans later on. Is there any truth to the OECD's warning here?
I think, you know, when China grows, everyone says that China has that problem. When China slows, everyone says China slows is a global concern. So basically, for China, the most important thing is that China tried to strike a balance between the debt leverage and the growth. So in general, I think, you know, for China, it's not that the core interest is that try to grow the economy without create too much problems to the financial system. So in this case, you know, the easing measures has its limit. I don't think, you know, China will continue to put up a lot of, you know, kind of stimulus measures into economy to see another kind of very rapid growth in the coming quarters. I think, you know, China only want to achieve, you know, 6%, 6.5% this year, rather than, you know, to achieve another kind of 8% growth. But on the other hand, you know, de-risking and de-bubbling maybe still happens in the second half of this year if the growth growth outlook actually improve.
And one thing that could possibly improve the growth outlook is these ongoing trade talks between China and the U.S. It's arguably the hottest economic theme for the first half of 2019. And there are signs, at least if you talk to U.S. Trade representatives, that they might be coming close to hammering out a deal. Now, could this actually add more buffer, this seeming initial recovery that we're seeing in the Chinese economy?
I think, you know, the trade talks between China and the U.S., there are two things I have to say. First of all, you know, there is increasing likelihood that, you know, the trade agreement could be reached in coming month. But on the other hand, I don't think, you know, any concrete deal can be reached, to be honest, you know, because the conflict between China and the U.S. is likely to be persisting over the next one or two decades. So in this case, you know, even though there could be a trade deal, it will only provide some kind of short-term relief to the economy. Over the medium term, I think China still faces headwinds from outside of from external sector, as well as the U.S. you know, side on the intellectual property, as well as, you know, the forced technology transfer side. So I think, you know, trade talks, you know, only be positive for the short term. But from long-term perspective, China still need to open up its market and do more kind of market-oriented reforms to sustain the growth in the economy.
And finally, Mr. Tso, let's talk about the impact of these figures on neighboring economies across Asia. We did see today that despite the fact that GDP figures for China improved, exports in Japan shrank. You saw the number for March exports in Singapore also declining. Electronic exports here down by almost 27%. Can you talk about whether or not these improving figures might help the outlook on trade and macroeconomies around the region, especially over here in Singapore?
I think, you know, the most important thing is that, you know, we see the demand in China is improving. That's the kind of theme for now. But the problem is that how long we will see the spillover effect. I mean, how long the Chinese demand will benefit other economies in the region, especially. It's like, you know, China wants to, you know, improve its domestic supply chain or the domestic, you know, supplies first, rather than, you know, tap into the global markets, you know, as soon as possible. So basically, I think, you know, for other economies in the world, maybe you have to still wait and see, you know, how big and how fast the Chinese consumption and the Chinese improving demand can benefit this economy. But I think, you know, we can see that some kind of impact maybe in later this year. But compared to the past few rounds, maybe the impact won't be as big as before.
We'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. That was Hao Zhou, an economist over at Commerce Bank, who helped us take a look at those rather impressive GDP figures from China for the first quarter.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.